Hello and welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast. I'm Melissa Riccobono and I'm here with
Anil Lewis. Welcome. Welcome to all of our listeners.
Welcome to the second February episode. Again, a little bit of a new format. More episodes, smaller episodes, more often.
Weekly episodes.
Weekly episodes. So yeah. We're excited to be a part of your weekly routine now instead of just your monthly routine.
Excellent.
Well, last week we spoke to Carla McQuillan regarding a case in Oregon where two parents who happen to be blind were dealing with some really invasive involvement from the Department of Human Services out in Oregon. This week, I was privileged to sit down with the father in this couple. Daniel Turnbow is his name. I interviewed him regarding his side of this story and his thoughts about it and the things that were difficult for him and his wife as they started on this journey.
I think that hopefully, I mean, they see the light at the end of the tunnel. Luckily, they were able to find the National Federation of the Blind. You know, that's one of the things that we really work on, making sure that the fundamental right of being a parent is enforced. I've had the, I don't want to call it the pleasure, but the responsibility, right, of testifying and court cases around parents' rights. Luckily, we've done it with the tremendous law firm, Brown, Goldstein & Levy. And I remember going to Dothan, Alabama. There was a grandmother there that had her grandkids taken away. Wow. It was really just interesting because the kids were just playing in the yard. And one of the neighbors or something who knew that she was blind thought that it just wasn't appropriate for kids to be playing in the yard. So rather than going to knock on the door to see if everything's okay, picked the kids up and took them down the street and called the police. And then they took the kids away.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, this is ridiculous. Just kids playing in the yard. But I'll never forget, we went to Dothan and we were getting ready for a hearing on custody. And for Dan Goldstein, man, he's a tremendous, phenomenal
he's
lawyer.
He's quite the
great
lawyer.
Mentor of mine.
I'm always glad he's on our side
whenever
I see him testify.
Exactly.
I think, whoa, I'm glad he's on our side.
So in order to get us ready, he took us to the courtroom and we you know, got oriented and everything. And he was pacing back and forth, you know, strategizing. Man, we were ready. But because he's such a good attorney, some papers that he had filed earlier decided the case before he even had to go to court. And the grandmother did get her grandkids back.
Wow.
So hopefully we're going to have, you know, a very similar result with these parents, making sure that they're no longer harassed and are able to be the parents that they want to be to their child.
Yeah, by themselves, on their own. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess the only somewhat silver lining of this case is that their child at least was not taken
away
from them.
Yeah.
I don't at all condone what is happening. I think it's an incredibly, terribly unfair and extremely stressful way to start your journey on parenthood. But at the very least, they've been able to actually bond with their child and be with their child the whole time through all of this.
But it seems like it's still such a stressful existence. I can't even imagine.
I can't either.
Yeah.
I can't either. At the same time, though, I think it'd be much better having it this way than having someone else raising your baby in the first few critical days.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think it would be really good to listen to this interview with Daniel and hear his side of the story. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. So I'm here with Min Turnbow. How are you, Min?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So I heard that you are a brand new or relatively brand new parent. Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
And what's your baby's name?
Silas.
Oh, Silas. What a great name. And he was born in December, right?
Yes, on the 21st.
On the 21st of December. Wow. So just a month ago. How's it been? Being a new mom and new dad for the last little over a month.
It's been great. We're very proud parents now. And, you know, we finally both have a child that we planned for him. And we had a lot of planning involved. And we're so grateful to be able to share this new experience together.
Yeah, I bet. And you're Daniel.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. I didn't realize I had had the both of you. So that's great. So unfortunately, though, we're here not just to gloat about your wonderful new baby, although I'm positive that he is wonderful and adorable and the most intelligent baby ever and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that you really had an extremely rough road right after his birth and a very scary and disturbing experience. So I'd love it if you could share with our listeners a little bit about what happened.
So basically, we had a nurse come in and was supposed to be directing my wife to breastfeed. And she was saying that the baby was turning blue and wasn't giving her any instruction on how to position the baby at the right angle to help her out. And instead of giving her further instruction, she jumped the gun and called DHS off an assumption that we couldn't figure out what we needed to do with proper instruction.
Wow. And let me just say, as a mom who has breastfed, it's not unusual, especially for your first child, for you not to have the baby positioned correctly. I mean, this is something that nurses deal with or should deal with in the hospital on a fairly regular basis. I mean, certainly it's not a good thing, but it's nothing that's completely out of the ordinary.
Yeah, exactly. Any new mother, you know, has to experience this in figuring out how to breastfeed in the first place. And this being Min's first child as well, it shouldn't have been any different, except that the sighted public are not aware of how to approach a situation with people that are visually impaired or blind. So.
Right. So what happened? So the Department of Human Services was called, and what happened after that?
Well, it was shortly after that this lady, that she gave birth, that this lady jumped the gun on this issue, and a lady came in to our room, and we had no idea what she was talking about at first, and we quickly dismissed her, and then a little bit later, we had a whole team of DHS workers barging into the room, you know, and somebody, you know, was accusing my wife of not handling a baby right or not breastfeeding the baby right. My initial statement was that's a lie, you know, because I believe it was. And they insisted that if we had somebody that the child could go to, we brought him to my mother's house. We were basically on house arrest with our baby. We had people that had to oversee us going everywhere, 24/7 surveillance, to make sure that we were handling the baby right and everything was being done properly. We went through that for about almost 2 weeks. They said it could last from 10 days to 6 months.
Oh my goodness. 6 months. I can't I can't imagine 10 days, 2 weeks, let alone 6 months.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I think the hardest part was consoling my wife in the hospital, because we were there for 5 days and it was like, we had about 12 to 20 hours of sleep in 5 days. There was some nurses that were instructing us to do certain things, but we didn't get any help on changing diapers or anything like that so that we could actually get some sleep. Not that, you know, we absolutely needed that, because somehow you get supernormal strength when you're a parent all of a sudden.
Yeah, it does happen, but it's not ideal, particularly those first few days can be exhausting. For sure.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the stress of all of a sudden them insisting that somebody was with you all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, we called a friend of ours who contacted the NFP, who quickly came to our aid, and a lady named Stephanie Aguirre, I believe it is, who has raised kids, came to our house and met with the DHS workers and assured them, you know, being blind is not a handicap to raising a child.
Did the social workers that came in, did they ask you any questions about how you would complete tasks? Or did they just say to you, no, this is how it's going to be, or you can't take your baby home?
They basically said that we just had to be under surveillance. And they were just basically kind of just overseeing us here and there. At one point, a lady came and one of the DHS workers came in and said that, somebody had called and said that the baby wasn't under 24-hour surveillance. And my mom was standing right there, who was the one that was overseeing us. My wife was like, well, my mother-in-law has been here the whole time. So whoever said that, that's incorrect. And they said, do you know anybody that would say that? And I said, no, there's nobody that would say that. So they were trying to find some kind of a loophole, some way to kind of get their claws in, so to speak. So,
wow.
It was a pretty heavy blow. I mean, all we could do is, smile and nod and be compliant, through the whole thing, but still hold our ground,
Right.
Show them that we knew what we were doing. But at the same time, we had, from the very beginning, we got married, then we had a baby. We planned all of it. We went to WIC. We went to every single class. We had many supports and cocoon nurses and everything set up to help if we needed it, just in case. We had many family members that backed us up. A good friend of ours witnessed a big meeting that some of the NFB members were there to help us out. Our friend witnessed for us that we were good parents. Everything he's seen was done correctly, and he's had has grandkids himself. And then in that same meeting, they started bringing up, filling the bottles with milk and the formula and all this other stuff. And one of the NFB members was sure to tell them that I am being trained to be a chef. And obviously I could
you can measure
out two scoops of formula for 4 ounces of water.
Oh my gosh.
Lightly packed.
Wow.
So
My goodness.
Yeah.
So obviously the 24-hour surveillance, I believe, is done now. Is the case being closed with the Department of Human Services, or are they still looking in on you from time to time, or what's going on there?
Okay. So we feel like we're swayed a little bit. They're not, so to speak, looking in on us. They came to the house the last time, and they just saw that there was formula on the counter and that we had a place for him to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
A co-sleeper is what we have that sits by the bed. Mm-hmm. And then they took off. So they said the case was closed, but we were informed that we should get a form called a 307 letting us know everything that was spoken of, everything DHS had reported on us. And so we're in process of getting that, to make sure that we have all of our I's dotted and our T's crossed. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My only other questions are, I guess, what was, if you can, think of, one or two hardest things about this whole experience, and then let's end with a positive. What are your guys' favorite parts of being parents, and what are you looking most forward to?
I think the hardest part was the fact that it was kind of a sucker punch in that, and we felt like as though we might lose our child over this. I was trying to console my wife in the hospital over that, ensure her that we're going to get through this. So I think that's one of the hardest mm-hmm. things to get through, is the consoling of that. And another thing was my wife didn't choose to breastfeed after this because mm-hmm. partially because of that situation.
Yeah.
And, I don't think any mother should have to, go through that to where they end up deciding not to do something that's so beneficial for our child. And I wish she could have done that too. And I know he'll be all right. He'll do great. But it wasn't our wish. There's not a lot of positive things except we got to keep our child.
Right. I was thinking more in general.
We feel good.
I was thinking more positive things in general, not from this situation, but now this is hopefully behind you.
Oh, yeah.
So, what are the things that you're enjoying most about being parents, and what things are you looking forward to as your little boy grows up?
Well, we are excited to teach him new things, and every moment with him, sharing every little noise and every little thing he does is exciting, and he's standing on his feet, he's got really strong legs, and he's standing up, and I play with him a lot and pick him up in the air, and it's so fun. And he is so content. He's such a content baby. He was really our saving grace through the whole thing. And once he's got everything, he's always calm and Point Collective, even, wow, we're taking him to a library so he can, you know, hear books already and stuff like that, because we leave, you know, from 1 to 5 is the main time you want to really instill your values in your child. I think it's just going to be an adventure for us. It's a lot easier when you've planned it and it's something you get to do, you know, so.
Well, I you're bringing back lots of memories. I have 3 children of my own, and all I can say is just enjoy now that this, you know, harder part is behind you. And like you said, he was kind of the saving grace through all this, and you weren't ever separated, which is a huge blessing. You know, unfortunately, there are some families who have things that happen that are even worse, in the sense that they're actually away from their babies for days at a time. Yeah. So I'm very glad that at the very least you were able to be with him, that he was sort of this calm, content, happy baby that really helped you stay focused and helped you through this. And just enjoy this adventure. You're absolutely right. It is an adventure being a parent. Just when you think you have it all worked out and figured out, he will throw you a curveball. Don't worry about that. The adventure will continue. But just enjoy all of these times because they do, and I know everyone says this, but I will echo them, they truly do go so very fast. So I'm really glad that you're in a good place now and that you're, you know, able to enjoy all these great times with him. And I wish you guys both the best of luck.
All right. Thank you so much. And I just like to, we just like to shout out to NFB, all the people that back NFB, their lawyers, everybody. We appreciate you. I'd like to shout out to my buddy, Jim Jackson. Hey, bro. And he's an NFB in Portland, Oregon. I appreciate him. He introduced me there first. And his brothers. Anyways, everybody there, thanks, guys. We appreciate everyone in the Bryan community and those that support us.
Well, thank you, guys. We're happy to do it. You know, we all want blind people to live the lives they want, and that includes, of course, the right to parent a child. So thank you very much for your time, and we very much appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow, that's very powerful. Interview. My heart goes out to the family, and it's just so, I don't know, it's just, I guess, somewhat scary.
It's so scary.
As a blind parent, did you have any thoughts that this could potentially happen to you?
Oh my goodness, I did. And I mean, I was very, very fortunate that nothing even close really, there were certainly questions, but I was able to, and Mark was able to answer them satisfactorily. But the really fearful time I had was after I delivered Austin. Mm-hmm. They took him eventually to the nursery to clean him up, got me settled, because it was a hospital that had the delivery room upstairs, and then you went downstairs to your actual postpartum room. Mm. So I went down and, you know, kind of was getting settled in my room, and it just seemed like it was taking forever for them to bring him from the nursery back to us.
So you thought they would take
him? I just kept thinking, this is it.
Wow.
This worst nightmare that I've had is coming true.
Oh,
they're
going
to come back to us and they're going to say, we have a lot of questions for you because you're blind. We don't know that your baby can room in with you. I mean, my goodness, I hadn't slept in, well, I guess I did sleep, but, you know, I'd been in labor for hours. Your mind and your body are kind of reeling after that experience anyway. And so anyway, eventually it was fine. Mark actually went over there and they apologized and they said, oh yeah, we just got really backed up and here he is. And so they brought him back. I think actually Mark walked back with them. And I didn't even share this with Mark until days later. I said, you know,
he didn't notice.
He didn't know that I was scared.
That you gave when they brought the baby back was...
Maybe he did, but I don't know. I mean, he was kind of reeling too. You know, again, this is not just a hard time for the mom, you know.
Yeah.
But later I said to him, yeah, I was really, and he said, really? You were really scared?
Wow.
And I said, I was really scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really, really was. I was scared. Yep. And then I do remember bringing Austin home from the hospital and opening up the door and thinking, oh my goodness, here we are. We have this tiny baby. Like, what made us think we could do this? And then I just took that deep breath and just thought, you know, but I have my husband. Like, I'm not by myself. We have support. We have people, other blind parents and other parents in general that we can talk to. And so, okay, we're going to be okay. But I do so well remember just that moment as we're walking in the door.
Wow. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's just like me. Now you got him. Now what are you going to do with
him? And there's no instructions.
Yeah.
They don't come with instructions.
There you go.
So anyway.
So we still have one more of this series, and I think it's very appropriate based on the fact that we're highlighting how being a member of the organization impacts people in these life situations. So having a chance to speak to President Carbono about his personal experience, but also the organizational commitment to ensuring that blind parents have the right to live in the world. It's going to be our third episode. So I'm hoping that third episode of this series with our new format.
Right.
Yeah. So we're hoping that you guys will tune in and listen to that. Again, continue to give us your feedback. Let us know what's going on. Again, if you have life stories that you feel would be impactful and helpful for other blind parents, please send them to us. We want the information from you. So you can send information to podcast@nfb.org.
Yeah, and in addition to blind parent stories, we're also looking ahead to our next episodes in March. And the topic of March's episodes is going to be summer programs for youth. And so if you have any stories about summer programs, we'd also love those stories. And not only can you email us, you can give us a call at 410-659-9314, extension 2444.
You can reference us in your tweets, and our Twitter handle is @NFB_voice.
And you can also look us up on Facebook. Just search for National Federation of the Blind.
Well, we hope that, not necessarily that you enjoyed this podcast, but we do hope that you found it interesting, educational, and hopefully it moves you to really want to make a difference as well.
We also hope that you just understand that this is still happening, that our advocacy cannot stop. It's important, and it cannot stop because there are still these types of situations that take place in the world. And when it happens to anybody, that's, one person is one person too many.
Yeah.
So we really need you. We really need your support. And we really need you to pass this message along that this does still happen. And there's got to be a better way. We've got to provide more education, more training so that these types of things don't happen.
And it all centers around the fact that we believe that you can live the life you want.
And blindness need not hold you back.